and inviting you to begin to gather a sense of awareness around your body. Just what's it, what's the position, its posture, its sense of solidity or weight? What's that like? And sensing how whatever you're sitting on supports you. But also noticing inside the body too, like the breathing, the belly, the chest, just in a general way, how is it inside? How are you right now? How do you find yourself? Without having to change you, you don't have to feel good or relaxed or anything like that. Simply noticing how you are in this moment, in yourself, in your body. I'm just taking half a minute just to be quietly with yourself right now. Okay, so we're bringing that to a close. Okay, so I'm just going to give a bit of a very simple outline of what we'll do this evening. This seminar is for people who are new to focusing or new enough to be interested, maybe you've done a little. We'll be exploring just four or five themes, and there'll be a bit of experiential part of it too. We'll be looking really at the kind of what is this practice, this thing, what does it mean to say your body knows the way? What's the essence of that? And we'll explore, I guess, some of where that let's call it that philosophy or that idea has come from, the background of this practice of focusing. And we'll also be exploring some of the forms of focusing. And you'll be having a little taste to yourself. And there'll be some time for questions as well at the end. And if at any point I do say something and you maybe can't hear me or it's not clear in some way, just please send a message or unmute yourself. So I want to start with a quote, and this quote is by Eugene Gendlin, who was, let's say, the developer of focusing. I think focusing, it's important to say this about focusing, that it's a natural human skill that we all have. So anyway, it's not something that someone else has kind of invented to put on top of yourself. Like this is a word, really, just a word to describe some way of being in touch with your body, in touch with yourself. And let's say it was made more explicit and sort of opened up by Eugene Gendlin. I'll say more about him later, but this is a quote I want to start with. So he says, "Every bad feeling is potential toward a more right way of being if you give it space to move towards its rightness. The very existence of bad feelings within you is evidence that your body knows what is wrong and what is right. It must know what it would feel like. It must know what it would be like to feel perfect, or it could not evoke a sense of wrong. So every bad feeling is potential to the more right way of being if you give it space to move towards its rightness. The very existence of bad feelings within you is evidence that your body knows what is wrong and what is right. It must know what it would be like to feel perfect, or it could not evoke a sense of wrong." So this is, you know, one example of a kind of this way, like your body knowing the way. It's what he's saying here, and what's really interesting about this is, if we have a difficult feeling, a bad feeling, something's not right, that in itself points towards the kind of knowing that the body has, that it knows what better would be like somehow, because it's showing you something doesn't feel okay. Yeah? Hi, welcome. Someone's arrived. And so this is you know, his words to describe this sense of what the body knows. It knows, maybe perfect isn't the right word, but it knows something about what better would feel like. So welcome, Leanne. I'll give some other examples of this kind of, some everyday examples really of this kind of knowing we have in our body, that obvious direction. Yeah? So say, imagine you met someone for lunch and you're talking and you have some, I don't know, they say something and you just feel really icky and bothered and just niggled by what they said, or even upset by it or something. You maybe not say it there and then, but you leave just feeling like jangled, as his word we have, jangled. Yes, and this is an example of this. Your body feels kind of, you know, something is wrong, but you can't really describe it. All you know is something doesn't feel right. Sometimes what happens is you talk about it with someone else, you go, oh yeah, that was it. You know, that it was because they said something about that, or you make sense of it. But before that, it just feels uncomfortable, this sort of sense of, even we might tell ourselves to snap out of it, but your body's telling you something. It's telling you something isn't right. Yeah? Or another example is, you make a decision in your life that feels right, but is difficult, like a career decision or some kind of life decision, or moving or something, and you have this gut feeling that this is the right way, even though it's really difficult. So what is that? Something in you knows, something your body, feel like some deeper wisdom, knows that this decision is right for you or in your whole life, but it's challenging, but you still do it. Yeah? And even a very simple everyday example is with food. You're in a place, a cafe or something like this, and you notice yourself buying a cake, even though when you check in with yourself, or when you just think, oh, I don't really want it, but your friends are having some or something, and you just override that sense of what your body wants. Very easy to do. We override what some knowing inside of us, like, I don't really need this right now. We do it. So again, there's a kind of body has this knowing. Yeah? Or there's this lovely expression we have in our language of something setting off our alarm bells. You know this expression? So we say, oh, I walked into a place and my alarm bells went off. So where are they? What does that mean? What is that about? There's some kind of experience there that's very hard to put into words, but we feel definitely, you know, we feel on edge or uneasy. So we have some kind of alarm bells. And now there's a question whether they're always right or wrong. We can come to that. But something's happening, like our body has a knowing. So it points to, we're more than just our cognitive mind. You know, we're more than just our thoughts. There is some other kind of intelligence going on here. Even if you look at the brain, you know, you have different dimensions of the brain. You have the kind of newer neocortex, and you have the mammalian brain, the reptilian brain, and they have all their own kind of knowing and intelligence. And then you have a body, of course, and the body has so much, the physical body, like we have so much information that it's picking up in all sorts of ways. Proprioception, knowing where our body is in space, where we are in the space we're in, and our nervous system around the guts is incredibly elaborate and brings so much more information in than is actually going down. So our body gives us so much information. Welcome.
Ah.
Leanne.
Thank you.
Good.
I'm having problems with my computer.
That's okay. Welcome. I'm glad you've arrived. We started, but people just, you know, that's not a problem. So just join in. I'm going to mute you, and then there'll be time for questions later, but just to welcome you now. Mm. Actually, maybe for those who just heard that, maybe there's some of the questions already about this idea, or this not even concept, this experience of the body knowing something. Maybe someone comes up here, a question about it, and if not, we can move on. But and if someone please, all questions are welcome. Obvious ones, difficult ones, challenging ones, I don't mind. Okay, so we'll carry on. So what is this knowing? What might we call it? Well, in focusing, there's a term that you may have come across somewhere else, a felt sense. We have a felt sense. And even though this is a bit mysterious, this term I quite like. That it points to something we may sort of notice on the edge of our awareness, we may already be very familiar with. But this felt sense, is it just a word for this, like a pre-conceptual knowing or a bodily knowing? And you could describe it as just how our body feels our life situations, or how the body feels situations in our life. It has a kind of particular feeling about it, yeah? And often we can feel it, but it's hard to put into words. So you think of any situation, think of a good friend, or think of someone who you have had an argument with, you get a whole different feeling of that, of each situation. And it's sort of not—it's not just what we know with our mind. Our body has a feeling about it, you know, a kind of quality. So this is what we're tapping into and focusing. This is what we're tuning into. Jenlin is another quote from him. He says, "A felt sense, it has all the meanings one is already living with, because one lives in situations with one's body. A felt sense is body and mind before they are split apart. So a felt sense is body and mind before they are split apart." And often, but not always, we feel it as something that's easy. It's hard to put into words. We might try and find words for it. Oh, it's kind of, I don't know, I feel kind of uncomfortable. Is it uncomfortable, or is it, I don't know, is it anxious, or is it, and we know how to name it, and that can be uncomfortable in itself, but there's something really interesting happening there. There's something, our body's showing us something. It's sort of telling us something. Some people also call it like, we feel meaning in the body. Something like what the sensation we have of tightness, or perhaps it doesn't always have to be a bad thing. It might be something, an openness or a relief, or that feeling in there isn't just indigestion, or isn't just because we had a really nice meal. It's something else. This is the felt sense. This is kind of the body's way of showing us meaning, if you like, or something. There's something more going on. If you'd like, it's body and mind before they're split apart. That's one way of putting it. So yeah, let's just, any questions about what I've been saying already? We can carry on. Okay. So I want to say a bit about the origins of focusing, where it comes from as a practice, the kind of formal practice of it, rather than just describing it as a natural skill, or like, where did it appear from and get its name focusing? So this came from some research done in the 1950s and 60s, and the research was into psychotherapy clients, and the question was posed, like, how is it that some people make progress in therapy and some people don't make progress? They don't make change in their life. They even after many, many, many sessions, they still feel the same. The issues still with their life, it's just the same. So some people seem to make progress in that arena, that context, and some people don't. So why is that? Is it to do with the kind of therapy? Is it to do with the therapist? What's happening there? And what the research led to was two discoveries. So one was, the first factor in change, if you like, was empathy, was the client's empathy. That was a kind of core factor, the therapist's empathy. They feel an empathic kind of space that really enabled change. But that wasn't the only thing that was needed. The second thing was that the client needed to be in touch with their own direct experience. So they weren't, in other words, they weren't just talking from their head. They were, as they were describing what they were, some of their life story or what they were exploring, they were noticing, how did it feel inside? And you could recognize this just through the recordings of the sessions. This is how the research is. So this is Eugene Gendlin and Carl Rogers working together. And they noticed the people who kind of paused when they spoke and maybe stumbled for words and went, I kind of feel sad. And is it sad? And they'd stop and kind of search around. And no, it's more like betrayed. Oh yeah, betrayed. That's really what it feels like. So they'd stop and find around, they'd kind of find some word that fitted something. So they went somewhere, they did something inside of themselves that was different from the people who just, oh, and then they did this and they did that, and they always do this kind of thing because that's the kind of person he is, and you know, it's so unreasonable, and just the story goes on and on and on, and then they never touch in on their own experience. So this connection to their direct experience was kind of the sort of birth of focusing. And the next question that came from that was, how can we teach this to people who don't know it yet? And then what came after that was, how can we teach this to people who aren't even in therapy? They don't need people, everyday people, but people who aren't in that context might find this helpful. So then this practice of focusing was born. And yeah, Eugene Gendlin began to teach groups called changes groups, and other people started learning what he was teaching and taught to other people. And so a kind of, yeah, an approach was born that is now taught all around the world in different contexts and different ways. It takes its name, focusing, just to say this, focusing takes its name from not like focusing, like I'm focusing my mind, or it's more about allowing something to come into focus that at first feels vague and fuzzy, like this feeling of unease or something, some sense of this direction is right and that direction isn't. And often we feel that vaguely or uncertainly, and then it comes, oh yeah, then it comes into focus. So that's where it comes, that's where the name comes from. So something about the forms of focusing. So as I've said already, it's a natural skill. You may, as you learn about it or practice it, you might think, oh, I already do this, and that's great. You probably do in some way or another. Anyone who's ever said, oh no, I didn't really mean that, I meant this. Anyone who's ever searched for a word to describe something like a film, well, it wasn't really disappointing, it was more like just dull. You know, you've searched for the right word, that's focusing. That's this process of touching in on your own experience. So it's a very natural skill. But as a sort of formal thing, if you like, you can do it on your own. You sit down and do a session of focusing. That might be 10, 15, 20 minutes. And there's a kind of map of that process, which we'll touch in on a bit later. Or just in the moment, you know, something I use a lot just every day in the moment, as well as formally with other people and on myself. I just notice how I am in that bodily way and use my kind of body as a kind of compass to guide myself through the day. Sometimes on a good day, sometimes it's hard to be in touch with that level if we're stressed or if it's hard to pause and notice. But yeah, it's something we can do in the moment. Yeah. But another really lovely way of practicing it is in a partnership. So this is like a peer level partnership. So you just with somebody else who knows it, you meet up with them on Skype or in person on the phone, and you do a swap. You do 20 minutes each. One person does focusing, the other person listens, and then you swap around. So it's very egalitarian, very equal. No one's the expert. You're just there to listen to the other person. And it's got a very lovely form of listening that's very non-intrusive, very gentle, very supportive. And this form is in fact borrowed from co-counseling, for those who are interested in its history. So that's a kind of simple sort of pair form. Yeah, and it can be woven into other disciplines. And it can and is. Obviously, it's woven into therapy, counseling, into bodywork, for example, into creative disciplines, movement therapies, movement practices. Work with trauma, which is another area that I've had interest in and work with people in that area. So yes, it's something that mixes very easily with other approaches. Some of the ways I've used it, or what other people I know have used it to explore it in terms of their own issues, like using it to help make decisions. What would feel right for me next? Big decisions, where to live, life partner, da, 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 or small decisions, you know, what to do right now in this moment, what to eat, or working with addictions or other kind of patterns that we feel stuck in, or blocks, you know, situations in our life that for some reason we never get around to doing X, whether it might be exercising or reading that book or doing something we really long for. You know, focusing is a great way of untangling that and giving that some life. Resolving trauma, as I've mentioned, spirituality, creative expression. You know, anything that's sort of stuck and needs some kind of movement. This really has a wonderful way of unsticking things that are blocked. That's one of its real gifts. Let's just pause there. And you can unmute yourself to ask a question, or you can send it through chat if you've seen that in the bottom of your screen. So please.
Hi, so can I ask a question?
Yeah, please, yeah, whatever your question is welcome, please.
And hello to anybody else who's there. Can you just explain a little bit of the difference or the similarities between the Vipassana practice of noticing what's happening?
Yeah, yeah.
And focusing, because they feel similar to me. They're sort of resonating.
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I can't speak from a lot of experience of Vipassana, but a little bit, and what I know.
Yeah.
Vipassana is, it's present moment, body awareness, body sensation, and it's very much rooted in that, and so is focusing. But focusing has this extra invitation, let's say, to noticing, well, this thing called the felt sense. You know, there's lots of different levels of our experience. You know, you could say thought, emotion, body, and body is very much for Vipassana level, and anyone would just label thought, that's just thinking, or that's just feeling. I don't know quite what happens with emotion, but I think that's, you know, you would label it in a kind way. But focusing says somewhere in the realm of sort of feeling and thought and body is this, or something even a bit distinct from all of those, is felt sense. Like, this is how the body feels situations. It's kind of like the quality of the situation. And it says that there's something interesting happening in there, that there's some, especially when we take it to some place that's stuck in our life, it knows the way. This is it's not just any old sensation. It's a sensation that has a direction to it. It's saying, go this way, or don't go that way, or something that doesn't say it literally, but, you know, points to that. So it's still present moment. It's good, the body, but it has this extra invitation to notice that, which you might dismiss. You know, and I did for many years as a meditator, not doing Vipassana, but I didn't want uncomfortable feelings. Like, oh, I don't, my body feels uncomfortable, I'll just label that as discomfort. I'll just label those thoughts as, or images, and I'll just push them away. Oh, they're not important. But it turns out they were. I was pushing away a kind of my body showing me something through physical things, or even through images or symbols that are emerging. And So maybe that touches on some answer for you there. Let me know.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And that's not to, and I'm really not wanting to just to add on to this, make one thing better than another. You know, Vipassana has its whole kind of philosophy and underpinning that where that makes sense of that approach. And.
Thank you.
Great. Anyone else?
I'll mute myself
now. Yeah. Okay. Thank you. Anyone else? Any other questions? Okay. So I want to move on to something a little bit practical. We're moving into something a bit of experiential exploration. But it's something we're really just touching the surface of it today. What we're doing is not the whole process, and you can't really, it's something that's very individual, and leading a group through an exercise always has this sense of, because one's not individually connected or somehow, or even in a group in a room would be better than a group on Zoom because I'm not here with you. So it has a limitation, is what I'm saying, but we'll do something. We'll do something and we'll get a flavor of this process. Yeah, I suppose, yeah, this is about how do we level, how do we access this level of our experience? How do we access this bodily knowing? How do we tune into it? So I'm going focusing is described in many different ways. You look at Jendon's book, it's one way, and other teachers describe it another way. And what I'm giving you today is just a piece of how I describe it. If you like, there's a kind of map, a kind of step-by-step process that helps us find it. But once we've found that way to connect to ourselves, we don't need the steps so much. So I'm going to give you three simple steps to try tonight. And you try in your own life too, just carry on using them. But please remember they're only just the first three out of 10 or something, just to give a number to it. They're just they're essential ones, they're really important, but there's more to it. So I'll describe the three steps first. So first one is pause. I'm calling pause, so pausing. So this is a moment of going, okay, here I am. You might close your eyes or something, but it's like, oh, this is what's happening right now. And you need to take a second or few or even longer to do that. It's like stopping that kind of rush of doing to just be for a moment. Very familiar probably to many of you. Mindfulness holds the same thing, Vipassana, I love meditation. We pause. So to pause is just one, why name for it? But we're pausing. So step one. And step two is being curious. So being curious about our direct experience. So this is different from thinking about our experience or analyzing our experience. So why am I experiencing this? Or it's not that. That's not being curious. Curious is a kind of like an open attention. Like, I wonder what that is like. There's this funny feeling inside and I feel uncomfortable and so coming to it with this kind of sense of curiosity. So being curious. And the third step, which is adds this extra piece, I think is really crucial, is what I'm saying here is describing it freshly. So we paused, we become curious about what's happening inside ourselves in a bodily way, not just body. Sometimes things come in different ways, in symbols perhaps. Or movement, but yeah, we're curious about that. But yeah, then we try and describe it. Like, what? How would I describe this thing? Freshly, we're describing it freshly. So it's not how I described it yesterday, or 5 minutes ago, or how I described this my whole life. Or this is just where I feel anxious. This is just my chronic something. You know, we have these labels. This is just part of me that feels sad. You know, it's been like that for years. So these are they're old descriptions. You know. And they're fine, but what's wanted and what's really needed is like, how does it feel right now? This thing that I have a notice that maybe it's been there a long time, you know. But describing it freshly, what's it like right now? Where do we sense it in our body? Or is there a word for it? Or is there a symbol that really captures it? So, like I was doing some of this practice, it might have been this morning, and this feeling of unease and anxiety in me, and like the best thing that described it really was like a dog that was barking, like rah, 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 rah. You know, and it's like, oh yeah, that captures it just right. Like, so well, in a way, I could feel it, that sense of unease in my body, but also there's a symbol. So this can be a very common thing that happens in this work. The symbols emerge that capture our experience. And of course, every night when we dream, our body does this. Our body is dreaming, or body and mind together gives us these symbols. So I say this here because I want to, because it points to focusing as more than just physical sensation. It's like bodily. Think of it bodily in a different way. It's not just sensation. It's sort of sensation and image and feeling all in one somehow. So yeah, pause. Step one, two. Step two, being curious about our direct experience. And three, describing it freshly. This is very important. Describing what we notice freshly. So just check that that's clear, and then we're going to give it a go with something. Okay. So let's do a leg exercise. I'll just get myself comfortable here. Excuse my squeaking chair. So using those three steps, you don't have to remember them. I'll be guiding us through this. I'm going to lead us through, say, 5, 6, 7, maybe, I don't know, just between 5 and 10 minutes. Let's call it a kind of guided focusing exercise. And I'm going to invite us to sense our body, sense the present moment, just be here. But also, I'm going to give you something to evoke, if you like, to get to, and then let's see what happens. See what happens in the body. And I'm going to invite you to be curious in that way. All you need to do is listen to my invitations. If they don't make sense, let them go. It's good if you can be comfortable how you're sitting, be supported. Just checking any questions before we begin. Okay, let's go. So, one thing to also to say here is you can have your eyes open or eyes closed. I don't mind, whoever feels safe and okay for you. I might close my eyes or I'll open them sometimes, but. Yeah, taking some time initially, just to gather a sense of your body sitting in the space you're in. There's its posture, position. The kind of solidity, the weight. Maybe sensing, particularly how your body is supported by whatever you're sitting on, that contact there, and letting it be supported, like letting your weight drop there. Not forcing it, but just allowing yourself to be supported. And then noticing the rest of the kind of edges of your body, like the clothes, your skin, the kind of outline there of your body. And from there, beginning to notice and be curious about how is it inside, maybe with your breath or just with your awareness, noticing like your chest, the belly, the throat. How is all that right now? Does it feel comfortable in there or uncomfortable? This is often where we feel emotion in the kind of this middle area, but not only. So we'll notice that, but also inviting you to notice the rest of the body, your legs, your arms, your hands, your neck, head and face, your whole body. Sitting there, or lying there, wherever you are. How is it? Maybe there are pains and discomfort, so acknowledging that. Or maybe there are kind of life issues, bits of your, whatever you were doing before the call or something important in your life, kind of pressing in. That's fine, letting that be there. We don't have to push it away. So in a very open way, everything is welcome. Wherever you are right now, wherever you find yourself, this is a very important attitude in focusing. Everything is welcome. even some struggle to be present. You might be struggling. I can't notice my mind's going over it. That's fine. That's welcome too. So now I'm going to invite you to bring to mind something that you really love doing in your life. Something that has a kind of simple enjoyment. You just love doing it. It might be reading or running or cycling or singing in the sunshine or something that's kind of uncomplicated and just delightful for you in some way. And just evoke that experience. Evoke, remember when you did that last, or and sense of what was that like? What was it like? What was it? Remember the quality of it in your experience. This thing that you love doing. Or as you evoke it, begin to notice what happens in your body inside. Just even dropping in this curiosity, does it feel good or bad, this thing? Presumably it feels good. So what is that? How do I notice it? How is it? I know that this thing is something I love or makes me feel good. Maybe you can't locate that, and that's fine, but just holding the quality of it. What does it bring alive in you, this thing you love doing? So being curious, what qualities or feelings does it bring alive in you? And maybe there's a word or an image, something to describe that quality, what it brings for you, this thing you love doing, is it? Maybe it's, I don't know, delight, or it's aliveness or freshness. Or so what is that quality? What is this thing that you love doing? What does it bring in you, in your life, in your body? How would you describe it? So finding a... We're inviting you to find some way of describing it freshly and sensing it in your body as you say that. Does that fit? Does that match your experience? So I'll just leave a minute or so to be in this space, just continuing to explore and play with the word, like it's a word or a symbol that captures this quality. Or just sit with it. Sit, notice what's it like, this thing you love doing. And don't try and change it or make it. Let's evoke it and just sit with the experience. Now when you're ready, just give yourself half a minute to finish. You might move your body a little if it's been still, and take your time to open your eyes or stretch. If we had longer time, I'd do a sort of contrasting invitation and invite you to think of something that is difficult in your life and sense that in your body, and I'm sure you notice a difference. Yeah. But sometimes we may not feel much or notice much, that's fine, but sometimes when we notice the opposite, oh yeah, now we know, now we get it. But here's the invitation now, just for anyone to describe if they notice something or if they struggled with something, anything at all that you'd like to share about that, just that kind of mini experiential focusing sort of style exploration. You can unmute yourself or wave. And it's fine if you didn't connect with it. Sometimes these things are easy in a moment. There's something else happening in our life.
I don't want to be the only person asking questions, but I've got lots of questions.
No, please. No, it's fine. I don't mind. And
I hope it's useful for other people listening too.
Yeah, please.
So what I was noticing there was just a feeling of actually almost feeling at home with myself.
Okay, yeah.
And that with that, then I also then began to notice other parts of that. That was the feeling. In my body, parts of me relaxing.
Oh yeah, okay, yeah, that makes sense.
That were otherwise a bit kind of tight.
Yes. Yeah. Great.
And my hands, which were together, suddenly burst, you know, from each other. And I noticed that too.
Yeah. Okay.
So is that a typical, I mean, can you ever describe someone having a typical experience?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. I mean, especially with that kind of theme, you know, that's very likely to happen. And what I enjoy about what you say is that the way you describe it, a feeling at home in yourself, you know, That's a very particular quality to it, doesn't it? It's different from just the word relaxed or at ease. You know, it's something very and you sort of found that way of describing it. And yeah, you felt it in your body in a physical way. Like, that's right. Sometimes it's very physical, this process. It isn't always, but often, yeah, that relief we feel from when we kind of get something or when we find that direction, if you like, find that way, the direction the body knows, oh yeah, that's what it is. And it can be very moving or very, very sort of deeply affecting in a physical way, like to kind of touch that level of experience. Yeah, thank you. That's great.
Do that thing then.
Yeah. And anyone else want to share or ask? Or ask for anything I've said, in this hour. We're going to kind of be saying some concluding things in a minute, but So yeah, just to say something about that exercise, is it, if you like, it's evoking a felt sense of something, evoking how the body feels about a situation. And that situation was something I gave you, invited you to explore, something that you love doing in your life. And yeah, you could evoke many other kinds of situations. And very typically, like for me, well, I might do that in focusing, or might be like there'll be a situation that's tricky and a bit, why is this a bit stuck, or why am I really struggling with this? Like right now, for example, in my life, we've just got a new dog in our house. And some part of me is getting really anxious, like a lot of the time. Very surprisingly, like normally I'm quite relatively relaxed. I'm like, why is that happening? So yeah, I've been using this practice to kind of explore what is happening there. What's going on in my body? What's underneath the sort of top level of just worry and worry, lots of thoughts and what's going on under the surface, you know. So yeah, it's like a sort of, if you like, a difficult experience, but I'm using focusing to explore and sort of unfold that and unpack it and help it resolve. Yeah. So what the time is it? Let's just say, I just want to say a couple of bits about like what focusing has brought me, just to sort of share a bit of my own personal kind of journey with it. I think I've already alluded to one just there, which is this ability to be curious about even really horrible feelings. Like I think for a long time, and this is even when I was meditating, I used to, you know, habitually move away from what's difficult. This is what we do, isn't it? It's a difficult feeling. Like it's like unbearable or something in the body or difficult. So I think I'll just move past that. You know, I'll use anything to move past it. Cake or TV or meditation. So now I can be curious about those, you know, and like experiences like shame, where we feel really deeply ashamed, and I can feel bigger. I feel bigger than them. Like I can meet those experiences much more readily, and that's such a gift to be able to kind of turn to that, to what's really difficult, and kind of go, oh, okay, and be curious. I'm so grateful for that building capacity to do that. You know, it's not finished or something. There's still things I avoid, of course. But more and more, I'm able to turn towards that with curiosity. And I think connected to this is the last thing I'll share is about, I guess, something like self-kindness. I mean, I think until I learned focusing, I didn't really realize this, but I was very critical of myself. I'd be a lot of inner judges. You shouldn't be feeling this, and you should be feeling that. And those people are like that. And why are you like this? And you know, our mind can be just kind of plagued, you know, by these kind of self-criticism, self-hatred, self-loathing. And now a lot of that has just faded, not completely. You know, I still get into some of that, but much less. And that, again, it's this curiosity. It's this capacity to kind of, oh, all right. Rather than saying, oh God, I'm such an idiot for doing this and apathetic. And it's like, oh, right. I'm just noticing that, you know, that there's some discomfort here, this situation, or something's not feeling right. And that next level of criticism and all of that that goes on is much less sort of strong and elaborate, which is great. Of course, it still happens. It's not gone. So yeah, so being able to be more curious, less being kinder to myself. And this whole thing about decisions, like somewhere guiding my life using this process of like having a compass, sometimes I describe it like having a compass. And that, yeah, that feels like it's getting stronger and clearer, that sense of like what would feel right. So yeah, just say some sharing some personal benefits that I've found from this practice. And you know, I've been doing it a long time and it still feels fresh and alive and interesting to me. I've been doing it 13, 14 years. I want to say something about some workshops I've got coming up. So one is an online workshop or course that starts on the 26th of October. So it's 6 Wednesday evenings, so the same evening as this. 6 Wednesday evenings starts on the 26th, 6 weeks. And that's, teaching the whole process. What we've done tonight is just like a taster, and I'll be teaching the whole thing broken down into steps. We'll be working together in pairs. So you'll be getting some one-to-one time with myself and working with other people also. So, yeah, and step by step, we'll learn this whole process, how to do focusing, how to be with oneself in this way, how to accompany someone else in the process, and how to meet parts of ourselves that are critical. How do we meet it when we get blocked or when we don't feel anything? For example, how can we really be with ourselves in a way that really evokes change, brings change? So that starts in, let's say October the 26th. And currently it's £110. If you've done this seminar, you can do it for £95. So you get a discount if you've signed up for a seminar. They've also got an in-person weekend in London on the 3rd and 4th of December. So that's in a venue in North London, a Buddhist centre. You don't have to be Buddhist to come along. It's just a venue that I've hired and part of my own background. But anyone comes to that, it's open to anyone. So it's 3rd and 4th of December in North London. lovely venue, easy to get to from Tube Station, just a few minutes walk. And that's £135 or £95. And you just book with the venue, which is northlondonbuddhistcentre.com. So northlondonbuddhistcentre.com. Or just look on my website. So my website, livingfocusing.co.uk. Check there. Soon I'll have dates for next year also coming up. And you can sign up to my mailing list as well on that. So you get a monthly mailing, monthly kind of mail out about what's coming up in the next few months and some other things I send out, maybe focusing tips and some other events that colleagues of mine are doing that I want to recommend. So that's a kind of free monthly email I can send out. So that's the end of our call. We do have a time. If there's any just last minute questions or about anything I've said, just got a minute. But let me know.
I just want to thank you.
All right, great. No?
Yeah, because I've been reading Gendlin, and so Gendlin comes alive, and that just makes it easier to remember.
Great, okay, good. Yeah, thank you. I'm glad. Yeah, they're good. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Thank you. Yeah.
And I guess in terms of actual formal training, I'm aware that there's training going on. I'm living in the West Country of England, so yeah. I know there's training going on in Newton Abbot, but are you doing the 5 week training? Is it 10 week training?
The 10 days, 5 weekends. Yeah, I'm doing them. I'll be doing them in the Southwest next year. I don't know exactly when, but sometime in Bristol. So I'll be doing those weekends and doing them online also. I'll be doing the whole series online. But I'm in kind of towards the end of that series right now in Bristol, in the Southwest. So I'm mainly, that's what's going on.
There are
other teachers around too, yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, great. Thank you. Great, and thanks everyone. And if you want, you can unmute yourself and say goodbye. That's fine. Or just send a message through Skype. I mean, through the chat, sorry. So I can do that too. Thanks everyone. Yeah, and have a good rest of your evening, whatever you have left of it. And this is recorded, so I'm going to be putting that on my website too. If you want to refer back to it or send someone to it, then that will be available for the next month or so online. So that link will be sent out. Good. Okay. Bye for now.